If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to turn with me. Book of Psalms, please. Psalms chapter 119. I trust that your heart has been blessed as we've traveled through this chapter. I was thinking this morning, Brother J. Vernon McGee, he's been on the radio for years, and Brother Randy done a great job. He's called Through the Bible. And he takes you through the Bible in 5 years. And he's done a great job with that. But when I got to just thinking about Psalm 119 and the book of Philippians on Wednesday night, it might take us a little bit longer than 5 years to get through the Bible. Amen. But we'll just stay in it till Jesus comes, won't we, Brother Gale? Amen. Not a better book. Not a better book in the whole world. Amen. Logan, good to see you this morning, buddy. Amen. And I want you to meet them sisters over there before you leave, okay? Amen. Amen. I aggravate Jennifer. She needs it. Brother Jim won't do it enough, so I try to step in there and take up the slack. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God if you're able. I'd like to read a portion of Scripture. And Psalm 119, verse 137 through verse 137 through verse 144. Here's what the Word of God said. Righteous art thou. Now, I'd like for you to just pay attention while I'm reading this morning. Listen to me carefully just a minute. See if you pick up on anything. Because when I was just reading this section of Scripture, actually it was last Monday, and there was something that, I mean, I just read through it one time and it became obvious to me that there was a theme. I want you to look for it, see if you see it, okay? In these 8 verses. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. Isn't that a beautiful verse of Scripture? Thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Anybody pick up on anything reading through there? Anybody? We know that the entire Psalm 119 is devoted to giving its attention to the Word of God, so these 8 verses do not step away from that. But what I noticed as soon as I read through it one time was that the word righteous and the word righteousness was repeated over and over. Actually, you'll find it 5 times in these 8 verses. To me, that's amazing that you'd find the word righteous or righteousness 5 times in 8 verses. I want you to be seated. I'm going to pray. And I think you will be amazed when we get into this letter. I think it's the 18th letter in the Hebrew alphabet. I believe you'll be amazed at how that it ties in with that theme of righteousness. Let's pray together. Father, we sure do love you this morning. And Lord, we do know, we're very much aware that it's all because you first loved us. Lord, it's your love that causes us to love one another. It's your love, our Lord, that causes us to love sinners. It's your love, Lord, that causes us to love the Scripture. It's your love, Lord, that causes us to love the kind of singing that we've heard this morning, Lord. That singing about home. That singing, Lord, about that solid rock. That rock, Lord, that we're standing on is going to see to it that we make it home safely. And I pray, Father, this morning that there are someone under the sound of my voice that's not standing on the solid rock, but they would realize this morning that all other ground is sinking sand. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ this day. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. We want to look at this portion of Scripture. I've told you, but for the sake of those that may not have been here, this Psalm 119, of course, is the longest chapter in the Word of God. It's every verse, either directly or indirectly, mentions the Word of God. And then we also have told you that there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and that each section begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 letters, so there's 22 sections. There's 8 verses in each section. And then each verse in that section also begins with that same letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, I can't read Hebrew. I can't hardly read from left to right, but Hebrew reads from right to left. Wouldn't that be something, amen, to think about being able to do that? But I can study and I can learn a little bit, and God has helped me to do so. We're looking today at the 18th letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It's spelled T-Z-A-D-D-I, or Tzadi. And the numerical value of this letter is 90. I'll say something about 90 a little bit later on. And the pictogram of this letter is a servant bent over carrying a load. Now, if you know your Bible, you know a little bit about what I just said. I'm going to magnify that a little bit this morning. A servant bent over carrying a load. It's a picture of Jesus, and it represents righteousness. That's what this letter represents in the Hebrew alphabet. The Word of God said he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We're going to say more a little bit later, but Christ is the servant of the Father. And Christ came down here, and Christ bent over, and Christ carried a load that you and I couldn't carry. And Brother Ralph, we get to sing about heaven this morning. We can have that blessed assurance that that'll be our home in the end. Not because we carried our burden, but thank God because he carried our burden. He carried our burden to Calvary. The Bible said he surely hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. I've been going through the auditorium this morning showing different ones, pictures of my little grandson. Oh, he's gorgeous. Amen. I'm telling you, he's smiling in this picture. Charity took a black and white picture of him. If you want to see it, you can get in line. I'll show it to you after a while. Amen. But what I'm trying to say this morning is, Brother Steve, I can't imagine smiting my grandson. The Word of God said he was smitten, stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. Those Roman soldiers thought that they were the ones that were smiting him. I want you to know, that's just not so. It was in the plan of God, amen, that Jesus would be that righteous servant that would carry our burden and that would give his life on that old rugged tree. The Bible said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Why'd he do all that, preacher? Because with his stripes we're healed. Amen. That's how we can be healed from that dreaded disease called sin. Amen. That's how we can be made righteous in the eyes of God. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And the Bible said the word righteousness is used 297 verses in the King James Bible. So God must be a righteous God. God must be interested in righteousness. Righteousness is used 297 verses. The word righteous is used 225 verses in the King James Bible. And then in these 8 verses alone, it's mentioned 5 times. I say to God be the glory. Amen. Let me give you something that'll help the onset of the message. You need to pay attention in the Bible. It's called the
law of first mention. Now, I'm not real smart, but I know that there's usually something when something is mentioned first in the Word of God. There's usually something in that context that theme is carried throughout the Word of God. And the word righteousness, listen to the first mention in the Bible. In Genesis 15 and verse number 6, and he, this is speaking of Abraham, and he believed in the Lord, and he, that would be speaking of God, counted it to him for righteousness. So right there in that first mention, you can grab a key, if you will, to the theme of righteousness through the Word of God. Righteousness comes to that one who will believe. It's not reckoned unto that one that works, but it's reckoned unto that one that will put his faith and his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first mention, it goes with Abraham and believing God. The Bible said in Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Don't you like that? It didn't talk about what color we were. It didn't talk about how much money we have. It didn't talk about which side of the tracks we live on. It just said that righteousness would come to all and upon all that would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is, for God so loved the world. I tell you, it was a happy day when I was able to insert my name right there. For God so loved Rick that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It became personal. I want to look at four things. I don't know if we'll get to all four of them this morning. I've got another message for tonight, but I don't know if we have enough seat belts. Amen. I just want you to stay with me. I'll look at four things this morning in this theme of righteousness. First of all, I'd like to look at the source of our righteousness. The source of our righteousness. In Psalm 119, the first verse we read, verse 137, it said, righteous art thou, Lord. Hallelujah. I tell you, the source, you can go to a lot of different sources. There's some, my friend, like the preacher told us on Wednesday night, that are turning to the Hinduism. There are some that are turning to Muhammad. There are some that are turning to the earth. But I'll tell you, only those that will turn to Jesus, he is the source of our righteousness, will experience the righteousness of God in their life. He's the source. Listen to what the Bible said in Jeremiah 23:5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David, I like this, a righteous branch. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, who's that talking about? How many knows who he's talking about? And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. The Bible said in Jeremiah 33:15, in those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. I believe Jesus is called the Son of God. He's called the Son of Man. He's called the Son of David. And I'll tell you, when he comes and sets up his throne on this earth, there'll be righteousness in the land once again. Amen. He will rule. He will reign with a rod of iron. The source of our righteousness, that righteous branch, that branch of righteousness. The Bible said in Hebrews 4:15, how come, preacher, he's the source? We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, like as we are, yet without sin. This is key. Friend of mine, there's a lot of people that don't believe Jesus was holy, harmless, and sinless. But I tell you, if he wasn't, then he couldn't be the source of our righteousness. If he wasn't born of a virgin, the way the Word of God said, my friend, then he couldn't be the source of our righteousness. But thank God Almighty, he was holy. He is holy. He will forever be holy. And my friend, he was born of a virgin. And he is our Savior. And he is righteous. Amen. This morning. And he's the source of every man's righteousness. This is what the Bible said. The Jews thought they had another source. Listen to me. I'm magnifying the Word of God in Psalm 119. But they thought that was the source of their righteousness. The law. Now listen. Listen to what the Bible said. in verse 3 of chapter 8 in the book of Romans, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now listen. It didn't say in sinful flesh. It said in the likeness of sinful flesh. Oh, listen, the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. I say hallelujah. It's all because of His righteousness that we're saved this morning. The Bible said in that verse, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, thank God this morning we see the source in Jeremiah 23:6. In His days Judah shall be saved. Israel shall dwell safely. And this is His name whereby He shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. Say that with me. The Lord, our righteousness. He's the source. There is no other place to turn for righteousness than to the Lord, our God. The Bible said in Jeremiah 33:16, in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. You said you just read that. I did, but I read it in a different place, a different text. I believe God said, hey, I want to back up and let you know for sure. There's no other place to look. You must look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. He's the source of our righteousness. Think about John, 1 John 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Does anybody know the last two words? The righteous. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I've been saved, but I messed up. I'll tell you how you can be forgiven. Because there was a righteous Savior that shed His blood. And my friend, that blood let us get in the family. And that blood, my friend, that was shed for you and I, will let us get right even when we're in the family. Let us be forgiven and experience His forgiveness. We see the source of our righteousness. The second thing I want to look at this morning, it's the securing of our righteousness. Just because something's there, don't mean you have it. Eternal life is there, but it's there, and it's there for everyone. I've used this illustration many times in talking to people about their soul. If this little gospel tract represents eternal life, and I want everybody to have it, let me just stop. Come here, man. Noah, sit right here because I can't go back there. Come here, man. Sit right here. Amen. Sit right there for me. I'm going to use Noah for an example. This represents eternal life, everlasting life. How many believes there's enough to go around? God so loved the world, amen? Now, Noah, I want you to pay attention. This is eternal life, and I want you to have it. Do you believe me? Do you believe me? Okay, good. You're helping me. That's all right. If you said no, I'd have to smack you and send you back to your seat, amen? He believes me, amen? But I want to ask you this, Noah. I want you to have it. I'm offering it to you. Is it yours? No, it's not. I want him to have it. Listen, Noah's not by himself. Rarely do I run into anybody that answers that question correctly. And I'm not putting Noah on the spot. You'll understand in just a minute. God has a gift. The gift of God is eternal life. He wants everybody to have it. But just answer me this question. Does everybody have it? Okay, so Noah, this is eternal life. This is everlasting life, and I want you to have it. Are you thinking about what we're doing here now? You're thinking about it a little bit. Why is it not yours? What now? That's exactly right. He said, because I haven't got it yet. In other words, it's offered. There may be people sitting in this room. It's offered, but honey, by faith, you must reach out and take a hold of what God is offering to you. You must receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you, Noah. You can keep that, buddy. Amen. Give it to somebody if you don't need it. Amen. If you do need it, read it. Amen. That'll be good. Let me tell you something right now. God has a gift for everyone, but everyone does not want God's gift. You say, preacher, why don't, well, boy, you wait till you come back tonight. Why don't people want God's gift? I tell you why, they love sin. A man that loves sin don't want right. You can't love righteousness and love sin at the same time. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, the securing of our righteousness. How do we get it? He said, thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. Thy word is very pure. You say, preacher, how do we get it? See if you can pick up on it in Hebrews 11. Here's how we get it. Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, by it he being dead yet speaketh. How'd he get it? How'd he get it? By faith. You say, preacher, by faith. You see, Noah could see that gift. Okay? Now, come back up here, Noah. That's right. You can sit down there. Okay? I got something else I want to give you. Have you ever had one of them little buzzers put in your hand? You haven't shook hands with somebody and that thing goes... Anyway, I got something I want to give you. All it is a pen. Okay? It's just a pen. You see it, Brother Johnny? You don't, do you? You don't see it either, do you, Brother Larry? You don't see it either, do you, Noah? But you took something that you could see. Let me tell you something about Jesus. You can't see him. Tell you something about the righteousness of God. You can't see it. That's why the Bible said by faith. Now listen to me. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. I have a pen. I stuck it up my sleeve. And I want you to have it. Would you take it? You would? It's not a razor blade. It's not a straight pen. A pen. P-E-N. Because I can't talk. It's a pen. One of the things you write with. You ready? Now wait a minute. Now listen to me carefully. What kind of a fool would Noah be, or anybody else in this world, that would take a preacher at his word and wouldn't take God at his word? The way we get righteousness is by faith. God said it in his word. We believe his word. Faith cometh by hearing. I won't make you come back again, Noah. You're free at last. Amen. Amen. Thank you, buddy. Listen, I know that might be a silly illustration, but there's a lot of people missing heaven for silly reasons. Because somebody's come along and said, well, I tell you, you better behave. And you better behave. If you don't behave, you won't go to heaven. No, what you better do is believe. And if you ever believe one time right, it'll cause you to behave right. Amen. A lot of people think that behaving is the ticket. No, believing is the ticket. And God said, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, prepared an ark and to the saving of his house, and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith. Abel, by faith. Abraham, by faith. Sarah, by faith. David, by faith. My friend Moses, by faith. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. By faith, the securing of our faith. I hope that is plain this morning. We need that. We need to make sure not only that we know about faith, but that we've experienced faith. I could ask you this morning this. Participate with me just a minute. How many of you all know who the President of the United States is? Would you raise your hand if you know who he is? His name is, say it with me, Barack Obama. Okay? I knew Brother John would enjoy that. Let me say it again. Barack Obama. That's his name. Amen. I'm aggravating, Brother John. I try to do that. It's my civic duty. I ask a question. How many of you know who the President is? Everybody knows who the president is. Now let me ask another question. How many of you know the president? I've never eaten one meal with him. I've never played golf with him. Somebody has, but I haven't. Amen. I've never been in his home. I've never met him. I feel like I know quite a bit about him. Let me say something about Jesus. You can stand on the outside looking in and figure out a whole lot about him. But you'll not get to heaven just knowing about him. You're going to have to know him. And in order to know him, you're going to have to invite him into your heart and into your life. You're going to have to experience the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Have to. These children, Brother Ralph, Brother Brian, y'all, like you say, see them many times. I have. I thank God. Let me tell you something right now, that they have the opportunity, Brother Jeff, to grow up in a church that's telling how they can get the righteousness of God. Amen. It's not telling them to be good and you'll get the righteousness of God. Come to church and you'll get the righteousness of God. Let somebody sprinkle you or dunk you and you'll get the righteousness of God. They'll never hear that message from this church because this is a Bible-believing church. Amen. And the righteousness of God can come no other way than by faith. By faith. We must believe God. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that He is, that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. That's what the Word of God said. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. It's not about me, it's about Him. It's not about what I've done, it's about what I do with Him. If I receive Him, I receive righteousness. If I reject Him, I reject the only hope of heaven there is. That is the Lord Jesus Christ that said, I am the way. The Bible said that righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I tell you, our greatest need in America is righteousness. Our greatest need is a return to the morality that is presented in the Word of God. Amen. That's what our greatest need is. Paul in Philemon 1:17, he was writing back to Philemon concerning Onesimus, the slave. And he said, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. There's one of the greatest pictures right here in the whole Bible of righteousness. He said, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. Think about that for just a minute. Paul's writing back to Philemon. Onesimus got saved. He had fled to Rome. I don't know how he got hooked up with Paul. Might have been in a jail cell. I'd sure hate to be chained to that man in a jail cell. Amen. You're going to hear the gospel over and over and over. You're going to hear somebody pray. You're going to hear somebody praise the Lord in that jail cell. And I believe you're either going to have to get in or get out. One of the two. Paul had God all over him. But he writes this letter back to Philemon. And he said, if he's wronged you, I can just hear the Savior saying to the Father, if he's wronged you, just put that on my account. That's why I went to Calvary. Listen, righteousness is imputed to us. But think about what was imputed to him that we might be made righteous in the eyes of God. Oh, beloved friend, I believe with all of my heart that God is saying to us, He is the source of our righteousness. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah quickly. Isaiah 64. I looked these verses up in Sunday school this morning. They came to my mind and my heart. The Bible said in verse 5, thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in the ways. Behold, I'm reading verse 5 in chapter 64 of Isaiah. Thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. Verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses. You can take everybody in this room, put all of our righteousness in the same barrel, and God said it's filthy rags. That's all it is, amen. The Word of God said here, and we all do fade as a leaf. Our iniquity, like the wind, hath taken us away. There's none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. Listen, I'm not saved this morning because I took hold of him. I'm saved this morning because he took hold of me. When I could not come to where he was, thank God he came to me. He came to me. God's hand reached farther down than I could reach up. And I experienced the righteousness of God. Oh, beloved friend, it's imputed to us. Put that on my account. In verse number 8, he said, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou art potter. And we all are the work of thy hand. You say, you see some bragging rights there? I sure do. Let's brag on him. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he. The Lord of all supreme. The God of eternity. The great I am the way. One that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm trying to get, is that the second point? That is, isn't it? We better hurry. Amen. Talk about the securing of our righteousness. Let me wind down this morning with this. I read this. There was a man, evidently a pretty rich man, because he bought a Rolls Royce. I don't know how much a Rolls Royce costs, but I reckon they cost pretty much. But he bought a Rolls Royce, Brother Johnny. And he was going to go on vacation. The illustration that I read said a holiday. We would call it a vacation in our day. And so he had his Rolls Royce shipped across the water to the country in Europe where he was going. He had it shipped. They put it on a ship, took it over there. Well, right in the middle of his vacation, his Rolls Royce tore up. Something went wrong, Brother Arnold, with the motor. By the way, without Jesus, there's something wrong with every one of us's motor. Our motor's the heart. It's tore up. It's unrighteous. It's filthy. It's wretched. So something went wrong with the motor, so this man, he just called Rolls-Royce. They didn't do nothing, Brother Steve, but put a mechanic on a plane and flew him over to where the car was. And the man fixed the car. He fixed the motor. He flew back to England. Well, Brother Randy, this guy's scratching his head the whole time. He's saying, wonder what this is going to cost me. And so when he gets back home, he calls him up there at Rolls-Royce, and he said, actually, the story said that he wrote him a letter and told him about the mechanic that came and fixed his car and thanked him for that and said, I was just wondering, how much do I owe you for fixing my car? And a letter came back. It said, sir, we here at Rolls-Royce have no record that anything was ever wrong with your car. I'll catch you down at the red light when you get that. Say amen. There's a God in heaven. Everything that's wrong and has been wrong in my life, it has no record because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he sees me as worthy. He doesn't see me like I am. He sees me like Sister Sue saw Brother Fred in that white suit. You say whatever you want to, honey. But those people have been in church and those people have learned the truths about the righteousness of Jesus. And God wouldn't have it any other way. He wanted Sister Sue to see him in a white suit. The righteousness of the saints that's been imputed to them.
by the God of heaven. God took away my mess, my imperfections and my sin and my filth. And that he doesn't just take it away. That would leave us empty. But then he fills the bucket back up with his righteousness, with joy and peace and love. Folks that don't have the Spirit of God, listen to me carefully. They don't have the fruit of the Spirit. They don't have the Spirit of God. Probably they don't have the God of the Spirit living in their lives by faith. Righteousness. Righteousness. I thought about it, and I don't know if I could get it done before tonight or not. But maybe I can just blow it up on a loose leaf piece of paper. Just blow the letter up, Zadi, and let you see how the pictogram is a servant bent over, buried alone. We're free this morning, Brother Gale, because he bore our load. The devil tried to get him to quit, didn't he, in the garden. He said, that's far enough. Thank God for a Savior that bowed his knees and said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. I say hallelujah this morning for the righteousness of God. What a Savior you and I have. I believe with all of my heart, Jesus is not one of the hopes of heaven. He's the only hope of heaven. The Bible is accurate. It's trustworthy. By faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Everybody in the room knows about Jesus. We found out Wednesday night, everybody in India doesn't even know about Jesus. Brother Jim Roberts was telling us about talking to people, and you start witnessing to them, and they say, Jesus, who's that? Never even heard. I want to tell you something this morning. I'm going to close. Before I ever got saved, I'm being honest, when I was living as wicked as a man could live, I knew there was something about that name. I knew there was something about that name. I thank God the Lord let me live till I was 27. Till I knew a little more than there was just something about that name. I knew he was the one I needed. That I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But then the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love brought righteousness to me. This morning, have you been made righteous by faith in the sight of God? People, it's a fact of life. It's part of nature. It's even said in the Bible, it's appointed unto men once to die. I feel led of the Lord to stop and say something. If I'm the preacher that's preaching the funeral, Bobby, didn't make one difference in Dad when I was standing up there. Didn't make one difference in Mama. It don't matter who the preacher's preaching the funeral. It don't matter what the preacher says, contrary to what some would have you to believe. Whether or not they're righteous in the sight of God, it's not determined by what the preacher says after they die. It's determined by what they did with Jesus while they were alive. Did they receive or did they reject
the Lord Jesus Christ. Vesty, you'll never forget it, will you, son? Miss Stephanie, you'll never forget it, will you, honey? The difference, a moment in time, one moment a person's without Jesus, and then in faith, I say, I need you, Lord. Lord just moves right in. And what a blessing it is. Because when he moves in, there's a whole bunch of junk has to move out. Because it just can't dwell where he is. Amen. I say hallelujah. Righteousness. Sadi. What the 18th letter in the Hebrew alphabet. 5 times. I'm not done. We'll have to come back tonight. We'll just uncouple the train right there. We'll go our separate ways this afternoon. We'll come back tonight, and I'll try to back up, couple up, and pull the next 2 cars. Amen. On down the track a little ways. I thought I could preach all that. I'm looking so forward to getting to the next message. I can't stand it. Amen. God's good. Do you have his righteousness? Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? I was talking to Brother Bob with the Gideons yesterday, and Brother Bob was a Catholic. I told Brother Bob something. I said, when I witness to Catholics, I said, I always ask them a question. And I say, I tell them, your answer to this question is going to let me know whether you're a good Catholic or not. That makes them perk up. I ask them, if they died today, do they know for sure they'd go to heaven? See, a good Catholic would never tell you yes. A good Catholic's dependent on works and the sacraments. If a Catholic looks at you and says, yes, I'll go to heaven, and you ask them why, 9 out of 10 times they'll say, because I've been born again. There's not a lot of them that's told me that, but there have been some. I've taken Jesus to be my Savior. They're not dependent on works, so therefore they're not a good Catholic. Say amen. I mean, if you're saved and you're a good Baptist, then you believe the Bible is the final authority, not your preacher. Or a group of preachers. Say amen. The Bible is the final authority. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege to be here today. Lord, it's been a blessing to be here today. It's my prayer, dear Lord, that someone never received the gift of God. They lay down at night, Lord, and they wonder and they worry, what would happen to me if I died? Lord, I remember those days. I remember the days, Lord, of just reciting the Lord's Prayer before I went to sleep, just hoping that that would keep the judgment of God off of me. Would keep me out of hell one more night. Oh, happy day when I realized, Lord, it wasn't what I could do, but it's what you had already done at Calvary. God, I pray this morning, speak to hearts. Lord, don't let anybody die without God go to hell from our church. Help them to experience the righteousness of an almighty God. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us.